Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to evil. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The righteous will live by his faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Before we join in this prayer, I'd like to follow on our confession that Pastor Sam led us in a moment ago. If you participated in that act of confession, on the authority of the Word of God, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And on the authority of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven. Be at peace. And later come to the Lord's Supper with a clean heart, in hope and with joy. This is one of the great prayers of the church. It's very simple. It's a good prayer for 2013. Let's join together. Ready? All together. Oh God, plant in my heart the love of him who is the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Scripture reading today is going to come from a letter that for some of you might be unfamiliar. It's in the New Testament, and it's in the last third of the New Testament, those writings by other apostles, the letter to the Hebrews. So I hope you'll join me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 through 6. Would you stand together as we read from God's eternal and powerful word? This is the word of the Lord. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. May the Lord bless this part of his eternal word to our understanding and our obedience. Amen. Thank you all. Nothing matters more than what you believe. What you believe shapes your life. Either you know what you believe or you don't know what you believe. I want you to know what you really believe, what makes your life tick. I think I can help. You and I are living in the last days. That means we are living in the time in which Jesus Christ is patiently asserting his authority in all the nations of the earth. And we should not be surprised when Christ and his church come under attack. And at the root of this spiritual warfare is a clash of what people believe. People in this world believe very different things. And out of that comes a tension that sometimes erupts into open antagonism. I'd like to introduce you today, in a concerted way, a secular creed. These are 18 statements that help you get a handle on the belief system that is informing much of our culture. And I provided it for you in your ministry news so that you have a record of this, and later there'll be opportunity for you to use this in discovering what your true beliefs are. But I'd like to walk you through this secular, or this statement of a secular creed. I believe that science has disproved Christianity. There are some real scientists in this church. What are they doing here? Christianity is a form of wish fulfillment. Death is the end of me. People who believe those first three statements no longer have a stable foundation on which to build life. And morality is up for grabs. And in the rest of this, you begin to see where life can take you. I believe that people with strong beliefs just want to control other people. I believe religious education is a form of child abuse. I believe Christians are hypocrites. I believe that it's okay to bash Christianity, but not other religions. Science has nothing to do with morality. I believe that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. Feeling good matters more than doing good. If it feels good, do it. I believe that what consenting adults do behind closed doors is no one else's business. I believe that science will conquer nature and bring in utopia. I believe in the authority of television and the internet. I believe that thou shalt covet, thou shalt buy, thou shalt consume, and thou shalt do it over and over, or the world economy will collapse. I believe that I deserve what I have, if what I have is good. I believe that I don't deserve what I have if what I have is bad. You ever think that? I believe my problems would be over if I won the lottery. Is that what you think at the cash register? At Wawa? I believe that if you have your health, you have everything. Amen. I tell you the first thing about every item on here, it is based in truth. Every item here has taken something true and distorted it, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Good health really does matter. It feels good to feel good. But if you think health is everything, you are already rapidly on your way to becoming very unhealthy. What consenting adults do behind closed doors really is private. But if you think it has no public consequences, then the moral fabric of our culture is already beginning to unravel. Science really does have enormous explanatory power. But when science is used to disprove God, it has already become bad science. The other thing that strikes me about these 18 statements is that they bombard us every day of our lives through television, the internet, movies, politics, peer pressure. I sometimes wonder how we resist it. And none of us resist it completely. But millions of Christians push back against this statement of a secular creed because we hold to another set of beliefs even more deeply, deeply enough that we know something here is distorted and we push back. And so I would like for us to read what it is that the church believes. It's a summary statement. Reading this aloud is not a statement that you understand everything. It's not a statement that you don't have questions. It's not even a statement that you don't have doubts. It is simply a statement that in good conscience you can say, this is what I believe, in company with millions and billions of other Christians alive today. It's on the other side of that sheet, and it's the Apostles' Creed. And this is going to be our roadmap between now and Easter Sunday. So for all of us who are prepared to say it aloud, let's join in. Ready? All together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. To all of us who read that, I would say first, we just made a countercultural declaration. This is where we take our stand, and it is no small thing. We're going to use that roadmap over the next several weeks. We're going to find ourselves with creeds in collision. My promise to you is that I will not be argumentative in what I say. I will not speak ill of people I disagree with. I will say things you do not expect me to say, and I will try to talk about God in a way that it is God, not what I say, that is the mystery and the meaning of the Apostles' Creed. There's something you can do with this sheet this week. And I like to put the guidelines up on the screen for you. Let's call these coaching tips. And they are steps that you could take if you were serious about doing something with what we've looked at here today. First of all, take this statement of a secular creed and ask yourself, what one statement in here perhaps has the strongest appeal to me? I mean, you and I are bombarded with this every day. It would almost be surprising if every one of us didn't find ourselves drawn to something here that we feel pretty strongly about. It's really important that you know yourself well enough to know where the secular creed has a hold on your imagination. The second thing would be talk about that one statement with a friend, or if you're in a small group, use your small group as an occasion to talk about it. Or maybe you're going to be in a class situation and you have an atmosphere where people can talk about something that personal and that meaningful in the class. This is the kind of thing that we do better in company with each other. And the third tip for how to use this wisely in your experience grows right out of that. What could you do to challenge the appeal of the statement of secular faith that has a hold on your imagination? And that's where that confidant or that small group of yours may really be important to you. Well, as soon as I tell another person something that personal about me, I'm now vulnerable, and I'm now to some degree accountable. And that other person or that small group of people that we've grown to care for each other will see things about me that I can't see because I'm blind to myself. And so finding out what you could do to challenge the appeal may grow out of a group of people or out of a confidant who can reflect back to you what they see and what they think. And it's amazing sometimes how the penny drops and you all of a sudden see yourself in a new light. These are steps that are available to every one of us. And I hope you'll hang on to this sheet all through this series of studies on the Apostles' Creed and look at yourself and see what has you and see what you doubt. And you will grow as a believer in Christ. Worship always precedes understanding. Christian creeds at their best awaken in us awe and wonder at our God. And that awe and wonder is never more in evidence than when we come to the mystery of the Lord's Supper. Here we hold in our hands material tokens by which we hold communion with Jesus Christ, who trampled over death by death. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you have said publicly, Jesus is Lord, then you may not be a part of the Brandywine Valley Baptist Church congregation, but you are one of us, And we want you to eat and to drink the Lord's Supper with us today. If you have not yet believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you have never said publicly, Jesus is Lord, it's better not to eat and drink the Lord's Supper. It is the Lord's Supper, and He designed it for those who believe in Him and who acknowledge Him in a public way. But if you don't believe, if you've never acknowledged, why not make today the first day of faith in your life? Right here, right now, right where you're sitting. It's not magic. It's not an incantation. It's an act of your will. Almost any words will do because God understands your heart. But if you just said, God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead, and He is the Lord, that would be your first step on the journey of faith. And on behalf of Christ, for whom I am empowered to speak, I urge you, I beseech you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this day, and on the day of judgment, you will be saved. Our habit here is to pray for the bread and serve everyone, and we eat together. And then we pray for the cup, and we serve the cup, and we all drink together.